The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had all had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "Truly, this is the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. On Wednesday, I spoke in the homily not about the first reading and not about the gospel, but I spoke rather about the psalm response. And I'd like to do that just one more time today, because there's a really important lesson that we'll find in today's psalm response, Psalm number 27. And once again, this is all about how to pray. That's what this is really all about. It's been said that a parish priest should not just tell the people to pray, he needs to teach them how to do it. The most time-tested, ancient way in which we pray to the one true God is praying the Psalms. The most ancient way and the most time-tested way to pray to God is to pray the Psalms. Jesus would have prayed the Psalms. Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph would have prayed the Psalms. All the saints down through history found their inspiration in the praying of these Psalms. And like I said on Wednesday, if you heard me Wednesday, I know it's hard for a lot of people. So, you know, every once in a while, maybe I'll give you a little help or two. I love the Psalms. I derive immense benefit from them. And on Wednesday, I talked about the importance of praying just one line of the Psalms. Well, today, Psalm 27, I want to do something a little bit more difficult, but also very helpful, and that is to pray it just one word at a time. Okay? Just one word at a time. So let's start to do that, shall we? Take the first line of our psalm today, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And you take that one word at a time, and you pray about it. So you look at the word light. The Lord is my light. What does that mean? Well, what is light? You pray about that. Light is that which helps you to see the world around you. So imagine for a moment if I could take all the light out of this room. We're going to turn off all the lights. We're going to board up all the windows, pitch black, dark. What do? You do nothing. You're paralyzed. You don't move an inch. Because it's light that shows you where you can go and where you can't go and what you should do and what you should avoid. That's what God needs to be for us as we live our lives. It's phrased very well, famously, by C.S. Lewis. He once said that, "I believe in Christianity same way I believe that the sun rose this morning. Not just because I can say it, but because by it I can see everything else. Does that describe the way God is for your life? You pray about that. You say, Lord, help me. Let please be my light. How can you tell if God is your light? Well, if you want to know what somebody believes, don't listen to what they say. Observe what they do. We reveal our faith by what actions we take. So if God is my light, I don't judge the word of God by the standards of the secular world. No, I judge the standards of the secular world by the standards of the word of God. People will say things like, the church is out of touch with the values of the modern world. I say, great. Who'd want to be in touch with those misvalues? God is my light. If God is my light, I'm not a citizen of this world trying to get to heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven who's trying to make my way through this world. God is my light. Is the Lord your light? Now, you have to recognize he's really not. And that's where you make it a prayer. You say, Lord, please be my light. And then you go on to the next word. You say, the Lord is my salvation. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, if there's one thing you can say about this human creature, it's that we're terribly, terribly vulnerable. We're always in danger. Benjamin Franklin once said that the only thing in life that's certain is death and taxes. And of course, he was joking about taxes. Everybody dies. Everybody grows old. You can't turn back the clock. There's no such thing as a pause button on life. So the question becomes, what do I do with the time that I have? Well, it depends on what you think your salvation is. If the Lord is my light, he's also my salvation. In him I find all my peace. And you know what the consequence of that is? Look, very next word here. That you're afraid of nothing. The Lord is my light, he's my salvation, and I'm afraid of nothing at all. I love to think about how the saints faced death to show me what that word means. Especially the martyrs. You look at people like Maximilian Kolbe or St. Cecilia, who faced death singing. Incredible. Or St. Perpetua and Felicity. Someday I'll tell you the story of their martyrdom. Two North African women who were thrown literally to hungry lions in the Colosseum. And before they died, they were as giddy, as enthusiastic as school children about to get on a roller coaster ride. No fear. No fear at all. And you know if they face death without fear, that means they face their lives without fear. You can be like that. If the Lord becomes your light, if the Lord becomes your salvation. Fear is a great defense mechanism, but it's a lousy way to live. Whatever fears you, whatever you're afraid of, controls you. And the more we pray these words, the more the words of St. John come true in our lives, perfect love casts out fear. Now, once again, if you come across a word that you don't understand, what do? Well, you just skip it. Just skip it. There's plenty that you won't understand. Go find one you do understand and pray about that. Here's one I love. The Lord is my refuge. Refuge. Now, what is that? Maybe pray about that. This one struck me because I love to look at bumper stickers on cars. Especially vacation bumper stickers. Because you'll find these statements that people put on their car for all the world to see. Things like, my heart is in Hawaii. Or, I'd rather be sailing. You know why I love those? Because we were all made for something greater than this world. And it's a little proclamation of that. I'd really rather be someplace else. We all have the yearning for a refuge, don't we? Fly like a bird to its mountain, says my soul. Well, what's your refuge? Is it God? Wouldn't it be great if it were? Everybody has a refuge. For some people, their refuge is, a vacation home, or maybe it's the company of a beloved person. They're not all bad things, don't get me wrong. There's secondary refuges in life, nothing wrong with that. Some refuges are very bad, though. Some people, their refuge is the internet. They seal themselves off into a closed room and they live by the light of Wi-Fi. or substance abuse. Imagine if the Lord was your refuge. You'd never lose it. Every day would be a day of freedom and joy, and you'd have nothing to fear. So a little word today. I could go on and on about this, but this is how you pray the Psalms. I love the Psalms, and they're such a fantastic prayer book. If we don't fill our minds with prayer, our minds will become filled with other things. They'll become filled with worries, anxieties, fears, regrets, temptations, unwelcome memories. Learn to pray all throughout the day. Maybe even want to bring a little book of the Psalms with you. Just open them up and you'll find, underline the ones that you love, and you'll find things to pray about all day long. The Lord can be your light, your salvation, your refuge, your freedom from fear, so many more things. And the very best place to begin to do that is right here. Amen.